Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis for Tuesday, July 29th, 2008. Hall of Fame game right around the corner.
Right around the corner. This is episode 2.05, where we'll be talking about tight ends and the recent mock draft that happened at fantasyfootballmastermind.com.
Mike Nazarak will, of course, be joining us from Henderson, Nevada. And all that comes up right after this.
Championships.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
All right, so Jeff and I are just getting over an earthquake that shocked me to my very core.
How were things down there at the farm?
It shocked me.
Did it? Was it scary?
Well, for a moment.
Did you ever relapse?
I guess the building that I was in has like one of those rolling
buildings. It's got rollers underneath.
And so it really rolled. And I thought for a second we were going to roll right onto Beverly Boulevard and just go right into Beverly Hills.
Dude, that would have been cool. You could have done a little shopping on Rodeo Drive. You had a little drive-through.
I thought that for a second. And then one of the ladies, she jumped into my arms. She was very scared.
No way.
Terrified.
See, I heard a woman on the news, it was so funny, saying that. I was freaking out. I was completely freaking out, but I was fine.
I was like, oh yeah, but like, I was fine.
Which were you? Make up your mind.
Because this was nothing compared to the Northridge earthquake.
No. It was nothing compared to the Northridge earthquake in 94. It was nothing compared to the Whittier Narrows earthquake of 87. It was nothing compared to the Sierra Madre quake that we had in 91.
Yeah.
And that's the one that's traumatized me to death. I actually got back in the shower today after the earthquake.
Yes.
And I was in the shower for the Sierra Madre quake in 91. And that's when just all I heard was glass breaking everywhere around me. And I turned off half the shower and was so – I mean, I fell a couple times in the shower and was grabbing towels and throwing them all over the floor because there's glass everywhere.
Ah.
I mean, that was a nightmare. This was nothing. This was a little – if you were in Chino, it was probably scary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the media is all over it, and all they can come up with is an abandoned building that had a brick facade fall off.
And a busted water main that's making a puddle in the middle of the street.
And a Macy's. Yeah. And then a liquor store that had some bottles of wine fall on the floor.
Ouch.
Oh, wow. That was a scary-ass earthquake.
Our Vladimir Guerrero banner did fall.
It did fall?
Because the
bookcase swayed.
The bookcase, and on top of it, I have like some stuff on top of it holding it up, and it fell. So,
well, we were in Steven's defense, he's on a second-floor apartment, so I'm sure you guys got a lot more movement.
Second floors do move.
Well, and third floors move more. My wife's in Studio City. On the third floor of the Sherman Oaks Galleria, and she moved a lot.
Well, real quickly, Jeffrey, we should note Brett Favre has officially asked to be reinstated.
Roger Goodell has the paperwork faxed to him, and he has promised to sign it.
Today. You're probably listening to this on Wednesday. Goodell's likely signing it right now while you're listening.
And faxed it to Green Bay and said, here you go, neener, 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 what are you guys going to do now?
Yeah.
Because you have 24 hours to act on this.
Well, Brett has talked to Goodell and basically said, look, they don't want me there. I said I was willing to come in as a backup and compete for my job back.
Yeah.
And they said that's not an option.
That's not an option. But now I have actually heard.
But they won't release me.
But now I've actually heard him say, we have a plan in place now. I mean, this is very fluid. We have a plan in place now for how to get our quarterbacks reps. That's what the latest that I heard Coach Timlin say.
So now McCarthy has to ease back from Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback.
Well, he has to because for no other reason than we're talking $12 million.
Yeah.
Hey,
some backups are worth $12 million, baby.
No, I remember, I believe Steve Young was making $6 million a year back in the day when there's many, many starters that were not making $6 million a year. And he was the backup to Joe Montana.
$12 million. Look, dude.
But in the true tradition, I'm going to rant here for a second.
Uh-oh.
It is rant time.
Rant it.
And Yeah, I can't even. NFL Network has become Brett Favre TV, and I have about had it up to here. It was fun watching some game from 1999 where Steve Young and Brett Favre were playing against
going
each other.
At it.
And it wasn't an NFC Championship game. It was a regular season game. And I guess that year they had each other on the schedule, and they were going at it. And Mike Holmgren was 100 pounds lighter. And everybody was looking fun. And I was remembering DeVere Henderson. Not Donald Driver. Who is a running back in Green Bay back then? I can't remember his name. But just some of these great names from the past. Obviously, Jerry Rice looking amazing. And that was some glory days of the NFL when Favre was young. Amon Green, I believe, was not quite. I think he was not quite there yet.
I think Green. Okay,
it was the guy that was there right before Amon Green. Because again, I was pulling for the Packers back then because the Rams had been long gone, and I was in my fourth year as a Packers fan. And
yes, the Packers.
And married the 49ers, which is a marriage made in hell. I mean, it really is. Fortunately, it's worked out for us. And maybe the mean lady did us a favor by taking the team to St. Louis.
There you go.
Because it saved my marriage. It used to be World War III every time they played each other.
Yeah, well, obviously the Packers are going to have to, you know, don't pick a Packers quarterback until you know what Brett's doing.
Well, what's interesting, and I'm afraid that I did not ask Mike in our interview that's going to be coming up here in a minute. I failed to ask him the question of, and maybe you know the answer to this, having been a commissioner of a million leagues, can you draft somebody who's not on an active roster?
Yes, you can. As long as your commissioner adds him to the league, you can draft him.
Somebody drafted him in about the seventh round, which is probably pretty smart. If you're doing a draft right now, take him in the seventh round.
And you can get Brett Favre in the seventh round? Absolutely.
Yeah, why not? He makes a heck of a backup quarterback.
By him faxing that letter to the commissioner, it is clear.
He's going to play somewhere.
That is correct. Thank you for taking the words out of my mouth.
Or he's going to get paid $12 million to not play.
He's going to play, dog. There's no way the Packers are going to keep him on the bench and pay him $12 million. He's going to get traded, or he's going to get released and then picked up by somebody.
Yeah. And they say they're not releasing him. There's no way in hell that they're eating that $12 million.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fascinating couple days to see how things play out. We should know, as I said, by Thursday, even though we come to find out the Packers don't have practice on Thursday.
Right.
They have only 24 hours.
They have a late practice. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, late practice today at 6 p.m., and then they don't have practice on Thursday. And so by Friday, either Brett's practicing with them or he's not.
Or he's a New York Jet, or he's a Tampa Bay Buck, or heaven forbid he's a Minnesota Viking. I mean,
maybe.
Which I think would be cool, but I don't live there in the Midwest and have been a NFC North guy for a long time. Because for those people, it's sacrilege, you know. You might as well just change your faith if you're going to let him play in the NFC North.
All right, well, let's bring him in. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to talk about the cool mock draft you guys did.
It was really interesting. Very, very. And let me tell you this. One of the most interesting things about doing the mock draft that took so long was that it gave you time in those 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th rounds to really do the deep digging in the barrel and see if there's anything left of value in there. And that was a lot of fun. And I think that's going to benefit me come real draft time.
Deep barrel digging.
Because although I don't have the best memory in the world,
yes,
I've at least familiarized myself by spending a good deal of time with everybody's depth charts. And saying, you know what, this guy's pretty injury prone. I think that the slot receiver may end up as a. In fact, that is one of my things that I did. I found a slot receiver that I'm pretty sure is going to start on the wideout, and it's going to be an every down back receiver. So that's something that I think I did just through digging.
All right, well, let's bring him in. It's time for
the Mastermind Edge.
With us from beautiful Henderson, Nevada, where it's dirt and hot and hot and dirt.
It's not shaking. Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. What's up, Mike?
How's the master?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. Did you rattle and roll with us today?
No, I didn't. But the local news did say that portions of the area actually did feel the quake there.
You probably had to be on like the top of the stratosphere or something to feel some swaying or something. I wonder if the world's tallest thermometer rattled at all.
I don't know, but Becker. I heard that you guys really had a shaker, a rump shaker there, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I mean, yeah. It was the first significant, it was the first real quake that my son had ever felt. He said to me, he said, Dad, is this an earthquake? I mean, again, he's 14. The last significant quake was the Northridge quake, which was right before Stephen had left. I mean, right before Stephen left to go back to Texas, because he says, this place sucks because it's going to explode and kill me.
Right.
And so it was right before my son was born, so my son had never really felt one. And he's like, this one? I'm like, yep, welcome to an earthquake. This is an earthquake. And we sat there on the couch and went, whoa, this is kind of cool. And it was pretty significant. It wasn't the kind that does massive damage, but it was amusing. And I'll trade it any day of the week for every season having a hurricane or something.
But when you're Trisha, on the 34th floor of
a building. Yeah, no, the higher you go, the more it rocks. Dee Dee contacted me from the third floor in Sherman Oaks and said, no, it was quite a mover and shaker.
Yeah, I was on the second floor of a building, and it moved quite significantly.
You know what was fun was we immediately flipped over to Channel 7, local KBC, which is owned by the Walt Disney Company,
and
which
did they show
I used
the,
to work
the water
for.
Main that erupted in Chino?
On the Macy's department store?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I haven't followed the story all day. So it was a water main. I just assumed those sprinklers that broke
inside. It was a water
inside,
main that busted.
And it flooded out of Macy's. But anyways, I've actually been on the news set, and I would have liked to have seen the newscasters dive under the desk, because it was at 11:42, so they were still doing local news out here on that channel, and I would love to have seen them dive under the desk.
That would have been
good. Oh, that sounds like it would be fun to
because
watch.
Because they got big old lights hanging up above them. I've been on that set when I worked at Disney. One of the days I had was out there at the ABC studios. And there is a lot of really heavy equipment hanging over your heads with monitors and things like that. And that
huge gobo lights
and
stuff.
So I've actually sat at the desk, and it is solid as a rock. And I think that they actually, because it's a pretty new studio, it's built for high def. And I actually believe that they built it with earthquakes in mind, because if you hit under that desk, I'm pretty certain you'd live.
But according to the Washington Post, it was felt as far south as San Diego.
Tijuana.
And as far east as Las Vegas, Nevada. So come on, man.
Yeah, what was
just
it like? What was it like? Make something up.
You were petrified.
Yeah. You wet
the
yourself.
The whole house was shaking, and I thought the front door was going to collapse, and the computer was going to fall on me, and oh my gosh, it would have been really
Sharon came home in tears, and she was terrified.
There
and,
you go, Nasty.
And your cats were all freaking out. And
to make you feel better, we're here to talk about fantasy football, baby. We're going to go over the top 10 tight ends on your list. And we're going to also talk about mock drafts. What's that all about? And go over a few
and
of
why
the,
you should be involved.
A few of the picks that Jeff made in the Fantasy Football Mastermind.
But not to make fun
premier
of.
Premier subscribers mock draft.
Now, I get a feeling, the key of mock drafting, as I always say, is not to mock people.
That is true.
By mock, they mean to simulate.
No, I want to mock something.
Yeah, see, and that's what I fear is coming, is mocking of the other variety.
I may have to, a couple of the picks that I've seen, I may have to mock something.
Well, I must say, I don't know. You guys start whatever order you want. If you want to make fun of me first, fine, so be it. I thought I was a good sport for being awake for a week.
You were a great sport.
And and I think drafting over email is, or through a website where you can go through a message board and stuff, I thought that was a very preferred method to draft, because it gave you enough time to do some serious research instead of just, you've got 2 minutes, you're on the clock now. That makes me crazy.
That's how it should be.
That's
you got
how
two
it should
minutes
be.
Draft.
And some of you who are savants and memorize every single player on every single team and know who the fourth slot receiver on the Tennessee Titans is and knows what kind of numbers they put up and knows what their college numbers were like and knows exactly how Jeff Fisher plans on utilizing him this year because you've read the playbook, those people annoy me because they have a little advantage to those of us that are a little slower.
Sorry, slow guys.
I like the slow draft. It took us almost exactly 1 week from beginning to end, and it was cool. We got through all 16 rounds and 12 teams. And how did you feel like it went, Michael?
I think it went very, very well. In the past, this sucker's been drawn out like almost to a month.
Yeah, you can't have that.
I was determined not to have that done this year. We went on a strict schedule to get it done in a week. We got it done basically in a week and a day. It went very smooth. Most people picked within an hour or two of when they were up. And it did give you enough time to do some research, consider, narrow your choice down to three or four different options here and there, and then, take a look at some schedules and how people are doing in the training camps and if there are any injuries that really, that just happened. And so people could make a little bit more knowledgeable decisions, and that's what we're here to do. We're trying to represent what an average mock draft at this time would look like. And so we want our subscribers to kind of get a feel that in a performance system that's non-PPR, that these running backs are going to go in this area of the draft, and these wide receivers are going to go here, and then the first tight ends go here, and then your backups start going here. And everybody in the draft, all 12 of us, you including yourself, Jeff,
yes,
are very knowledgeable. And we tried to get Steven involved. He was just too busy. But everybody's knowledgeable. So there weren't any, I think, really bad picks. I mean, there were some very interesting ones that we could talk about, but that Jeff made. And I made some interesting picks. And we also had the FF Mastermind cheat sheet, what I call the cheat sheet robot, at the end of the draft, making picks based on a stud running back kind of semi-modified version of that, making picks right off the cheat sheet. So it could kind of show you that even if you didn't put any thought at all into it, just went on right off our cheat sheets, I think the team that robot chose was almost as good as just about anyone else.
It's probably better than mine. I don't deny that. But but that's the fun of it. The fun of it is making your own picks, and I thought it was really fascinating. Looking right now, here's the first few picks that I made in the first round. I chose third, so which put me at third and 10th, as you do your serpentine drafting.
Right.
So I was always up third or 10th, depending on the round. And in the first round, I took Joseph Addai, which is a good pick.
But no problem with that?
No, hardly anybody would. Mike had a few people, a couple guys higher than that, but that's okay. People can differ on, and nobody should differ on who's number one. And after number one, there can be all sorts of disagreements. Most people are going to take Adrian Peterson number two, LT number one. But number three, I still think Adrian Peterson as your number two pick is not a given, because he's only got 1 year under his belt. And I think that once teams have enough game film and start to try and figure out if there's a way to defend this guy, it wouldn't be foolish to take someone like a Joseph Addai, who's got more experience and more games under his belt, more years to prove.
Right.
So, I mean, that's one of the fun variables of this whole thing, is that you don't know what's going to. So I went with what was fascinating, Mike, is I read all your stuff, and I hear the stud running back theory just coming out everybody's butt. Oh, it's the stud running back theory, the modified stud running back theory, the super modified stud running back theory. And I went with just the pure stud running back theory. And as a result, with my first pick, Joseph Addai, my second pick, I took Ryan Grant, 15th. So he was the 15th overall pick, and his average draft position, according to ESPN, with their stuff, is 17. So that's right about where he should have gone. But I'm the only one out of the 12 that did this.
Went running back,
Your robot go running back, running back.
Wow. Really?
Yes. As a result, I got hung up.
Ran him off there near the end, but he did follow it up with two running backs with the next two picks.
Right,
yeah, but Mike Neese went running back, I think, too.
Did Neese do that?
I got to look it up again, but
I'm not sure.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so somebody else did. What order did he pick in?
He was the first pick. He went LT, okay.
Well, that's a little easier now, isn't it? But anyways, I was one of the few then that actually stuck to the stud running back theory.
Running back.
And then I felt very blessed to get Tony Romo in the third round with the 21st overall pick, when he generally is going 18th.
Going higher.
But I knew that, therefore, I was screwed completely at wide receiver.
Who's going to be your wide receiver?
Yeah, somebody's got to catch a ball somewhere, and it ain't going to be Romo doesn't throw and catch to himself.
Let me just say this, buddy.
Yeah.
Pray that Brett Favre comes back, because with your fourth in your fourth round, you took Greg Jennings, the Green Bay wide receiver. And if it's Aaron Rodgers slinging the ball for Green Bay,
On that date, see, here's the problem with drafting right now. Everything is based on the news as of that moment.
Yep.
And on that date, it looked very possible, if not probable, that Favre would be coming back to the Packers.
Yes.
And that still we don't know, and we won't know for a couple days now. All we do know is he did find a number two pencil. He was able to fill out his form and get it into the commissioner's office. The commissioner, last I know, has not responded to it.
Is going to respond first thing in the
morning. First thing in the morning, he's going to get it back to the Packers, and they have 24 hours. So what we should expect...
So you're looking at what, a time Thursday, frame of Thursday?
Thursday, Brett should walk into camp or have been traded. So that's the way it's going to go. And they say that they have a plan for how they're going to get their quarterbacks reps.
Well, my understanding, too, is that the Green Bay Packers don't have practice on Thursday, so they really don't have to
isn't that
do,
handy?
They don't have to do anything until Friday.
Isn't
Are you
that
sure
convenient?
They didn't cancel it, Steven?
Seriously.
Well, I don't know if it got canceled or not, but I know for sure they have no practice on Thursday.
Then you're talking Friday. They're going to do everything they can to trade him by Friday, but the problem here is that they've been wanting either a first
one.
Rounder or a conditional pick that will actually rise to a first rounder if Brett plays a certain amount of plays or Brett gets a team into a playoff. They also look in defensive tackle, so they're looking for a player and a pick here, and I think that's totally unreasonable. But you know they're in a bind here, so what else are you going to do?
Yeah, so I think at the moment of my I'd like to know exactly the day and time of this pick and relative to the news. That's the only problem with spreading these things out. It seemed likely that. That Favre was going to be back with the Packers because Jennings right now is being taken 58th overall. That's his average draft position relative to everybody else. So I took him way too early with a 33rd pick in the fourth round.
Way too early.
And
well, on your part here, at least this is not a PPR system,
right?
So. You could wait a little bit on the wide receivers, and secondly, when we make the picks, the dates are posted for everybody's picks. So we did this on purpose to get this mock in just prior to all the training camps opening, and we've got other mock drafts, not with this group schedule, but there'll be other mock drafts and other expert leagues that drafts that I'm participating in, and people on the side are participating. And we put a thread up on the board and we ask people's opinions, and I give my pick analysis and I make the picks. We're going to be doing this all the way through August, so things are going to change. But that's the really good thing and exciting thing about the site is that there's almost something new on it throughout the entire summer, and we always want to keep information fresh. And you know, things are not going to get stale, and so you whenever you draft, whether you're drafting now or next week or in 3 weeks, you're always going to have the most up-to-date information and a good valid opinion and ADP charts when you go into your draft from the site.
All right. Yeah. Well, I just looked it up. Saturday, July 19th at 1:05 p.m.
is when I made that pick?
Yes.
Now, mind you, I might have had a beer. No, I don't know. I did not. I never draft drunk. Just know that. It's a standard protocol. Never draft drunk.
Look, I really don't have your next pick in the fifth round was tight end Antonio Gates. So I love your number five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't think you have any problems whatsoever.
Okay.
Well, let's hope the toe holds up. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the deal. Antonio Gates, average draft position number 40. And I drafted him in the 39th spot. So I got myself a stud, two stud running backs, stud quarterback, and a stud tight end.
Okay.
Now
well,
I understand
what you're saying with that, Steve, but you got to be careful. I mean, Jeff, you got to be careful that that you don't make all your picks based on ADP information.
No, I'm not. I'm doing this post mortem. I am just tonight looking up their ADP. I didn't look at it then. I didn't do any of that. I don't believe in looking at ADP at the time.
Yeah, his ADP information came
is right now. I'm pulling it up right now off ESPN's website. And the draft ended a week ago.
In the sixth round, you decided to go wide receiver again, which
I had to.
You needed to.
And I picked Roddy White of the Atlanta Falcons because someone's going to catch a ball every once in a while.
Yeah, but who's
going to
throw
a pass there? I guess we don't know who yet.
No, we don't.
Who's gonna throw? Can anybody throw the ball in Atlanta?
Somebody, probably. I mean,
all right.
But again,
I won't ride you
we
too
were
hard.
Thin. If you look at it would be interesting, Michael, if you could actually have listed, out with computers and everything these days, you could be able to do fancy stuff. go, okay, what wide receivers were available at that point?
Well, I took Dwayne Bowe right before your pick.
Yeah. And Dwayne Bowe's a reasonable pick, but Roddy White was starting to scrape the barrel. And as you see,
Bernard Berrian was available in the seventh round. He went in the seventh round. That's because he's on a new team now with Minnesota, and his quarterback's kind of questionable. Those are the type of players that were there.
Kinda? No, that's what I mean. We were really scraping the barrel by then.
Yeah.
And in the next round, I took Joey Galloway, and that was almost a flyer because it's like, you know, there was also a chance that Favre ends up in Tampa Bay. And
there's still a chance of that, yeah.
Well, it seems less and less. But that's a whole other
story. Galloway's not practicing because of an ankle injury. So.
Right. And he's being taken generally 83rd overall right now.
As much as I hate the Washington Redskins, I would have almost taken Santana Moss over Roddy White.
Okay. And what Steven tried to say there was that he would take Santana Moss, even though it would paint him as a Dallas fan to take somebody from Washington over Roddy White. My surprise pick came because between the sixth and seventh picks is when the news broke that Jeremy Shockey had been traded. And then I said, you know what? Given the projections that are out there for points that people are going to get, and given that this league uniquely has a flex start, this league was a two running back, three wide receiver, and one flex. Correct, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So for that flex, given value that was available to me, I went and did a big stretch and took Kevin Boss, who is the new tight end in New York for the Giants. Now, he was very, very last on everybody's list because it was assumed that Jeremy Shockey was going to be the tight end in New York, that they were going to get all worked out. But when he got traded to New Orleans, that made him, to me, much more valuable and somebody that should be able to get six touchdowns. They utilized the tight end quite well, and as he showed when Shockey was out the end of last year, he's a gamer. He could play. Whether he can hold up over a whole season, that's another story. But I thought this could be a steal in the eighth round. And I didn't know how far he was going to fall before somebody else said, and I prefer to have two good tight ends where you can later on trade one of them for a gap that you have, which I have a few gaps at wide receiver.
All right. And then after that, you took your defense and you went with the Bears.
And that's a little early for some people, but I am a firm believer that having one of the top two or three defenses can make up for other mistakes that you've made in the draft. Because
one question, though. You still have the Bears as one of your top three defenses?
Well, they are going second in Espen still.
Mike, you have anything to say about
it? I waited four rounds later and took the Minnesota defense. They're number two on my board behind.
And they're number three on ESPN board. Yeah, so I probably could have waited on the Bears.
All right.
But the Chargers D was already gone, and I knew that I had to get – see, the way I always look at this, and I can't believe that I'm doing most of the talking here. And so for everyone who says,
we're talking about your team.
Well,
so over my brief 2 years of playing and my six teams that I've owned – my goal always is to get at least 10 points a week out of my regular players and more than that from one player per week. And if I get those 10 points per week, that gives me a very good chance of winning.
Okay.
Assuming that you're starting eight players, nine players, whatever.
Yep.
If you get 10 points a week out of your player average, then you're going to have a very good chance of winning. What do you agree with that or disagree with that, Michael?
Probably, I don't look at it that way, but it's not a bad way to look at it.
Well, it's the new Ellis theory. It was just created at 10:48 on Tuesday.
No, I understand what you're saying. You want to make sure, because, yeah, if you got nine players starting, if they all score 10 points or more,
that's 90
you're
points.
Pushing 100 points.
Yeah.
And if you're going to win, you're going to win head-to-head games when you're scoring over close.
It really depends on your scoring system, too, because I've seen scoring systems where 150 points is good for a win. If you score below 120, you're not going to win. So,
right.
I mean, it depends on the scoring system.
Yeah.
But if you're in a system where 10 points is, you know, pretty good or, you know, average, and then you have one or two players that, you know, can blow up every week, then, you know, you're going to do pretty good.
Yeah, and so to me, Adai's a guaranteed 10 points. Grant's a guaranteed 10 points. Romo's almost a guaranteed 20 points. Antonio Gates.
Well, Grant has a ton of contract first. Yeah, that's another
Grant's
issue right here.
Out.
He's okay. Pretty upset.
Oh, he can cry in his coffee. I mean, there's bigger problems in Green Bay right now.
yeah, I agree with that. I bet the Ted Thompson's trying to swat him away with his hand. Go away. I'm dealing with Mr. Favre over here.
Antonio Gates, one of the few that can get 10 points. Defensively, the Bears can get you 10 points. The kicker I had drafted, I had hoped to draft. We were getting near the end, and Mike had to make a pick for me because I was out of commission. I don't think it was church, but there was something family-ish. I think it was the day the whole family was over, Stephen, on Sunday. All right. Because my brother was in town with his son, and so we had a big family get-together and didn't want to be on the computer. And
Nas took Crosby for
and,
you.
Which,
yeah, there's
which
nothing wrong
been,
with Crosby. I've got, you wanted
Crosby.
Shane Graham, who was right behind Crosby on my list. So as far as I'm concerned, they're the same kicker.
Well, they're not the same kicker. One of them kicks were on the So-Colger field. I mean, on the frozen there in Lambeau Field.
Frozen tundra?
Yes, well, that's what tundra is.
It gets cold up in Cincinnati, too. And remember, Crosby had more points than Graham last year.
Yes, he did, but he was a rookie last year. And I choose to go with guys that have as a little bit of experience, a little bit of history. Because, again, I'm looking for at least 10 points for my kicker. And that's not a given on a team. So I was looking for a more prolific offense. Then whom did I end up with?
Green
with
Bay.
The Green Bay Packers, which is a crapshoot right now, what kind of offense they're going to have.
All right.
And so I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are a better pick than that. So,
all right, so
that's what I was trying to do.
Final pick where you took quarterback Matt Ryan of Atlanta.
I think Matt Ryan was a great flyer pick with my last pick. It was the 141st pick overall. And it was just simply that I think by that point, late in the season, Matt Ryan, I believe, will be the starter. And I believe that he will become somebody that will be a big talk and news item. And the same goes for Ryan Terrain out of Denver, which I took with my 15th pick. I kind of tried to handcuff any of the Denver backup running backs because I do not believe that Selvin Young can carry the load there. And I think he's going to get hurt early. And it's come later in the season, my taking of Michael Pittman in the 13th round and Ryan Terrain in the 15th round. I actually believe Ryan Terrain is probably the best running back that's there in Denver. And so to get him in the 15th round, nobody else was interested. Yes, he might make it to waivers, but he might not. And I believe in him so much that I wanted to lock him up.
That's not a bad pick as a flyer pick.
Yeah, so to me, it was a fantastic flyer pick, and I'm real happy
with
the team as
a whole. And you got the future combination of Ryan to White.
Oh, and here's the other thing with Ryan, is that I love Atlanta's schedule. Whomever it is that they're playing when Romo's Dallas's bye week is week 4, I believe.
Week 10.
Week 10. Okay, so whomever Atlanta has week 10 is horrid. Horrid. They've got
you had
like,
a chance to look
like
that up.
Raiders.
That's the reason why right. We do these drafts on the boards. It does give you a little bit of time to look up things like that, because if you only got a minute and a half or 2 minutes between each pick, you're just going to be looking, all right, who doesn't have the same bye week as,
right.
as Romo? And then you're going to have this group of players
for...
go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But you had a chance to take a look at it, and that's something that's a good advice for anyone that's drafting online in a setup like this. And there's a lot of league management systems that allow people to draft online, and they set like maybe 3 or 4 or 6 or 8 hour time limits per pick, and you can do all kinds of extra research like that.
Right.
And also, if you're not hosting a live draft where a whole bunch of you guys are getting together in the same room to draft, you should go to the site where you're actually hosting your fantasy football league. Go there, do the mock drafts that they have there so that you get familiar with the system and
yes.
you know what's going on with the system.
Absolutely. Because I made my first pick wrong, didn't I, Michael?
Yeah, you did.
Well, no, I'm just saying. It's not that I made a bad pick, but I didn't understand the way Michael's forum boards were working with making the picks, and I ended up nesting it inside someone's pick, you know. and it's just get familiar with the software. If you're using ESPN – system, they have a Java applet
yep.
that actually downloads on your computer, and it's very handy, but you better be familiar with it, and you better know the yep. ins and outs of it. Otherwise, you're going to be screwed, frustrated by the system instead of focusing on the players.
That's very good advice, and there are systems out there also that will, if you've got a time limit of 2 or 3 minutes, if you don't make that pick, it'll auto draft for you, and
yeah, that can be really frustrating. 99% chance
you'll end up with a player that you don't even want at all.
It's not that it would be a bad player; it's just that it's a player that you don't need.
Yes,
you know, and that's the whole point of this thing with the mock draft, is to get practice balancing out putting together a balanced team. And taking into account the buys and the pressure and the clock, hopefully, because I'm glad that my first one was open ended like this as far as time limitations go. But my next ones are going to be used because we're probably going to be using the ESPN system for our stuff, and so just to get that in there and start using that clock and listen to that thing and watching your little red person blinking as he's starting to come up, get used to that, you know. And know when you have your breaks and things like that, and get comfortable with what it is if you're drafted third. Get comfortable with what you're going to do if you're drafted sixth. Because those timings between, like, the turn, if you're close, if you're in the 1, 2, or 3 pick, you got a long wait, and then, boom, the turn's going to come, and you got 2 picks coming up right in a row. Yeah. And you better be ready.
The key here is be prepared.
Be prepared.
Yeah, you can't go into a draft not knowing, well, I don't have strategy. I don't know what position I'm looking at. And worst of all, I've seen people like, I'm going to draft this guy here. I'm going to draft this position here. And all of a sudden, the play that you're picking goes right before your pick. You've got to have some alternate plans or be able to be flexible and change up and switch positional picks. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm going to take these running backs here. Well, okay, all these three guys go. So I've got to look at my cheat sheet and see where the value is and maybe switch and take a wide receiver or top tight end and be prepared to do that. If you don't, you'll get caught and you'll end up making picks that you'll regret later.
Yep.
And also make sure that you know the scoring system for the particular league that you're going to be drafting.
That's essential. You have got to understand that scoring system.
You got to remember that too. You don't start, you know, this is the non-PPR league, and all of a sudden halfway through it go, oh, that's right, this guy gets a lot of catches, so maybe I can pick him as my fourth running back. Well, Kevin Falk doesn't catches a lot of passes, but in this type system, he's worth a lot less than he would be in a PPR system.
Yeah, in fact, one of the things I'm looking forward to is that Steven and I, we're going to, when we officially come out, not of the closet, but officially come out with our, here's our system and here's what we're going to do for our fantasy leagues this year. I'm thinking that I'm going to actually host a couple of a PPR league, a IDP league, and I'm going to go a little crazy and try some of the new stuff, try some of the loco weed and try some of these non-traditional things. And,
good luck.
Yeah, well, Steven doesn't want to have anything to do with that because he wants to keep his head pure for his money leagues. He doesn't want his brain contaminated with anything else but the standard scoring systems that are utilized in all of his money leagues.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on.
But that's just a tease.
Yeah, tease of what's
so for those of you who are wondering about stuff like that, there's I think that we're gonna have a couple, but it'll be me that you'll be playing against, not Steven.
All right, let's get to the tight ends and talk about our analysis of the top 10 at that position.
And let me just start with myself and apply it to segue. What we just talked about. Where does Kevin Boss fit in with all this now that Jeremy Shockey's gone? And does Jeremy Shockey's position change now that he has a good quarterback? No offense.
Well, just to answer your question. Quickly,
I know Naz is a Giants fan,
I'm
so I didn't want to.
Scanning Naz's top 10. I don't see Kevin Boss anywhere near it. So there you go.
There you go, baby. And he's a Giants fan.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't have potential, but, you know, come on. The kid only caught 9 passes late last year. He made a couple of big catches in the playoffs, including one in the Super Bowl. He is not a good blocker at all. He does have potential. He's got good hands. He's perfecting his route running abilities. He's got upside. But, I mean, you can't automatically just throw somebody in the top 10 there just because the previous guy was a consistent top 10 producer. Okay, we can get to this as we go through the...
And I don't believe, frankly, that Jeremy Shockey and Kevin Boss are equal in any way. I mean, forget the fact that their personalities couldn't be more different. But just skill. I mean, Jeremy Shockey has unnatural skill. He's so good. And he can leap in the air and get balls that other humans can't even begin to get. He is almost like a Terrell Owens of tight ends. He's in a class all by himself. But... Is Kevin Boss that much worse? And then the question is, does, in your mind, Jeremy Shockey move up with what many consider to be a better quarterback behind him?
Well, I had not moved him down too far on my list to begin with because I wanted to see him come into camp and see what kind of attitude and see if he was really going to cause a stink before we start deteriorating his ranking in our poll. So he was at number 7 when he immediately got traded. I said, oh, that pretty much solidifies the fact that he's now going to be happy. He's got an even better quarterback where he is. They're going to be throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 7 might actually end up being a little bit too low.
I think
but
so.
But right now, I want to see how they interact and how he, you know, develops with an entirely new quarterback and the new system that favors him. They're going to be throwing to him a lot and all. Let's see. Let's give him a couple of preseason games, get his feet back on. He's also, remember, he's coming off the broken ankle, so he's got to prove that he's healthy there in place. But, you know, I could see him possibly moving up around number 5 or so. We'll see.
Okay, I would tend to agree with you there because the people that are ahead of him on ESPN's board, you've got, you know, let's see who's ahead of him. Algie Crumpler, Vernon Davis, Todd Heap, Tony Scheffler,
yeah,
Heath Miller.
Not,
I'm like, come on, this is Jeremy Shockey.
Let's not talk about their board. That's not the.
Well, I don't like their boards
their
either.
Their board doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. But, that's the case.
So let's go.
Let's
with
get to the real,
the real
good stuff.
Board.
The good stuff.
And at number 1, instead of Antonio Gates, who had been cemented at the number 1 spot as far as tight ends go, you've got Jason Witten. Ask, tell us about that.
Well, basically, I do believe that if you take both these guys in a similar system, that Witten would be just a little bit better. And just it's the chemistry that Tony Romo brings in the Dallas offense. I mean, he rooms with a guy.
Yeah.
You know, he just the fact that he almost
actually
caught 100 passes last year.
Witten is rooming with T.O. this training camps.
Is this? Oh, this is true. So this is news to me.
Yeah. This it shocked me.
Romo,
well.
Is he going to room with Jessica?
Oh my! Yeah, I don't know that Romo has a male roommate this year in Oxnard, because Witten was saying just today that he's rooming with T.O. and they're having a ball. So yeah. Unless they got all three of them in there in one room.
I saw that he was on NFL Live on the ESPN, and he was having a blast. And, you know, they're talking to him, basically telling him that, you know, building up his ego by saying he is the best tight end in the game. He's certainly an elite guy. And I like him. I like him in the system here. And what it comes down to right now is that we don't know what's going on with Antonio Gates' toe. You know, there's a very real possibility he might miss a few games to begin the season. And that just, I mean, it solidifies Witten's place atop my poll.
Yeah, I wish we could get more, I wish we could get better medical information earlier. Don't you? I mean, that just drives me crazy.
Well, I guess we just got to make sure, at least thank God that not everybody is, you know, Belichick over there that doesn't want to tell anyone. I mean, Wes Welker's been on the PUP now for the first week at training camp, and nobody knows exactly what the ailment is. They're not saying it's serious, and he should end up coming off the PUP here in another either few days or another week or so. But that's just an example of what life would be like if that guy was head coach everywhere. We wouldn't know what was wrong with any player until they actually got back on the field or if they ended up retiring.
Well, as we all know, Tom Brady, he was week to week until the Super Bowl, and then he lost. The first time he gets healthy, and
yeah,
that's the week he walked
right.
Around.
What has it been like? How many 200 straight weeks that he's had a shoulder?
He was week to week or day to day or something like that. His list is probable. So, that's why you got Witten there. And then you got Antonio Gates second because of your concerns about his toe. Then you go down to Tony Gonzalez in Kansas City, the venerable Tony Gonzalez.
I still think he's underrated. I think a lot of people are saying, well, he's getting old and they got a bad quarterback over there. But, you know, he still got it done last year, even though Croyle and Ford was sharing the position there. And you got to remember that other than Dwayne Bowe, they've got basically nobody there as another option. So, I mean, Tony's going to get his looks. He's going to get his scores. And you also could probably wait a round or so, and you know, after Gates and Witten go in your draft, and then take Gonzo. It's not that such a bad choice, although I probably favor Kellen Winslow, who I've got ranked fourth. In a PPR system, he jumps ahead of Gonzo there because he just catches so many passes. And he's fine in camp right now.
Why is it that it is so interesting that you have, not you personally, but everyone in general, has these two offensively challenged teams, Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns, that are really are going to be challenged to score points with some of the better tight ends in the game? I mean, because above them, you've got Dallas, San Diego, we've got Washington, Indy, New Orleans. These are prolific offenses.
Oh, I know. But see, you got to think about it this way. The overall offense may struggle and all, but the tight end becomes that much more important if they're really talented, and both these guys are.
No, I totally agree with that. But why can't they, if they know how to use a tight end, why can't they learn how to use a running back? I don't get it.
They might not have the talent.
Cleveland wasn't quite as bad as you know they had been in recent years. And I think if Derek Anderson can come close to repeating what he did last year,
that's
a pretty good offense there. I mean, Kansas City is a totally different matter. I mean, Brody Croyle hasn't really shown much of anything, and then you got Larry Johnson coming off. I think, you know, he appears healthy, he looks healthy and all, but, you know, people are questioning whether his foot's really healthy, and, you know, so they have some issues there. But these teams don't seem to want to sign. I mean, I'm telling you, if T.J. Houshmandzadeh comes out in free agency next year, and it looks like the Bengals don't want to pay him and extend him right now, I mean, if any of these teams that are struggling want to pay him to come on over, I mean, immediately
Seriously.
Their offense production is going to go up.
Yeah, and that seems to be a given that he's in his final year there in Cincinnati.
There's just certain teams and certain coaches, and I guess the GMs don't want to pay for it. Think about this. Philadelphia, when was the last time they had a solid number two there where that wasn't a question? Oh, obviously, they had T.O. there for a while, and they got rid of him, but they haven't signed anyone. Bernard Berrien was on the market. Now, granted, he wasn't like an elite receiver and all, but you know, Minnesota actually finally reached out and signed somebody that was worth a darn. I mean, Tennessee, they got Justin Gage, and now they're trying to recycle Justin McCarron's, and he's leading the job for the number two position on that team. It's there's the gap between the haves and the have-nots at wide receivers. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have totally different opinions of what they should do with the receivers. There's certain teams like the Colts that pay the guys. They want them there for a long time. They have, and then they produce, and they have the prolific offense, especially the passing game. And then there are other teams, you know, that continually struggle because they refuse to invest the money in that, and they think that keep drafting wide receivers and all. And I guess Detroit.
I think you're talking about Detroit.
How many wide receivers?
75 at last count, I believe.
Now they got two pretty good ones, I think, right now. If Calvin Johnson can stay healthy, his back, you know, is not causing any issues there. He and Roy Williams should put up some pretty good numbers, even if they're, you know, going away from the Mike Martz pass happy offense. But it's just a different philosophy at some of these teams. Remember, Baltimore won the Super Bowl, and they didn't even have an offense there. Trent Dilfer
did.
That he managed the game. And then they end up cutting him the next year. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's because that wasn't really the case. What was going on was that their defense was unstoppable. And their defense could score them points, and so therefore they were successful.
All you got to do is look at the Bears right now for this year and find out that they're trying to use that same approach.
Same modality.
I don't think it's going to work.
It's not an effective modality for very long. You cannot live well for your defense. You eventually
maybe
have to score
one
points.
Season where you can really become an. And didn't Chicago make the Super Bowl a couple years ago? And whoop, their window's about closed now.
It's long closed.
All right. So after Kellen Winslow Jr., you go down, drop down to your second tier, where you start with Chris Cooley in Washington, followed by Dallas Clark of Indianapolis.
And you included Jeremy Shockey in there as well at the time. That was,
Cooley is such a man for red zone targets, and I know that they're going to increase the vertical passing game, Santana Moss, and then they got the wide receivers, Demon Thomas, if he can get healthy again. I think he's got a hamstring that he pulled in practice here, but they're going to be moving Cooley around. People said, well, they're going to use him to block or whatever. He's less blocking this year They're going to be moving him around in the offense, trying to work the ball to him more so he's going to catch more, get more opportunities. So I like him there at number five. Dallas Clark, his ranking is more dependent on really almost Marvin Harrison's health there. Marvin's looked pretty good the first week in camp, running around, he's practicing, and he's even doing some two-a-days here. And so far, so good, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, we're only a week in or even less than that into the training camp. And, of course, when Peyton Manning comes back from his knee surgery there to get rid of the bursa sac, is he going to be able to just pick it up, you know, immediately with Marvin? I'm anxious to see how that works out, but if not, they're going to be looking more towards Dallas Clark again to give him the big plays. And, you know, so his ranking is kind of going to be fluid here in the coming weeks. And then, of course, you know, just like Shockey, I want to see how he looks. I think it's really going to be a good match in New Orleans. And what I really like there is that's going to pull away the double teams off Marcus Colson. And I'm targeting him as my number one wide receiver in a lot of drafts. I just took him actually in the second round in a PPR league here, and I will be looking at a running back coming back in the third. But I think Colson could be more effective with Shockey drawing the double teams away from Colson.
No, they could be very, very good, that New Orleans team. Very, very good.
All right, and then to end up your third tier, you've got Todd Heap in Baltimore, followed by Houston's Owen Daniels and the Eagles' L.J. Smith.
Yeah, this is what I like to call my wild card tier, because these guys, I mean, Todd Heap's got all the talent in the world if he could just stay healthy, and so far he has been healthy in camp. If they can settle on a quarterback, get that chemistry going, you know, he could pop up a little bit in the poll here. Owen Daniels is so underrated. He catches a lot of passes. He started scoring at the end of last season. If they continue to look for him in the red zone there, he's got good value. L.J. Smith's really my little wild card here. I put him at number 10. Really, you're going to see guys like Keith Miller, maybe Tony Scheffler go before L.J. Smith in a lot of drafts, but I'm targeting L.J. as my backup tight end because you can get him a little bit later. When healthy, he is one of McNabb's favorite receivers. He's very good in the red zone, too. And it's just hopefully he can stay healthy. He's been healthy and started the camp here so far. So
well, you're assuming two health issues there. You're assuming the quarterback as well. I've got a question for those of us who are premium subscribers and take advantage of all of the content that you have. It's only in the tight ends that you have this middle column of rankings where the numbers are in blue. What do those mean? Is that as a receiver where they would fall in compared to other wide receivers?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that was just a lucky guess.
There are some leagues out there that don't require tight ends to start. But, you know, when you're looking at Jason Witten and Antonio Gates and those guys, you know, if you get down around number 20, 25, 30 wide receiver, you've got a decision to make because you're talking Witten last year, almost 100 passes, what, 1,100 yards and 7 scores? And how many wide receivers, you know, beyond the top 20 are going to give you that kind of production?
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense then. So that's what those numbers mean on your rankings. Okay, cool. And then to finish off your, you've got Heath Miller. What?
Yeah, no, we finished off the top 10, right?
We finished top 10.
I mean, the rest of the tier three was Heath Miller, very closely right behind Smith and Tony Scheffler there. He's got the foot issue and so far he's looked okay in camp and, you know, but that's something also to watch.
Well, one of the questions that I was going to ask is a name that we didn't obviously see in the top, dozen here. But a lot of people were high on last year was San Francisco's Vernon Davis.
Yeah, he got me a ton of points till he broke his tibia.
Well, the issue with him is that he scored very low on the Wunderlich test, and he's had trouble picking up the offensive game schemes. Now, hopefully, maybe Mike Martz, he should know this, and maybe simplify some things. I know that they're really going to be throwing left and right in that offense, and you would think, oh, my gosh, that means even more patterns. But I think with Vernon Davis, maybe less is more. They're just now coming out by making some statements saying that we're going to move him around and maybe even treat him as a number three wide receiver. You know, basically, you know, he's been hyped so much before in the past, really hasn't been very consistent. He's had a couple of big games here and there. I want to see him produce more consistently before he gets, you know, in my top 12. I got him right now at 15. And really wouldn't even consider him as a starter, maybe as a backup, but I'd rather have L.J. Smith as my backup. I take the chance on the injury because I'd rather have the good chemistry and the fact that I know that a healthy L.J. Smith is going to be a heavy part of that game plan in Philadelphia. And, you know, I got to see what you're going to do. You got to prove to me that you can do it before, you know, I really take a chance on somebody like that.
Well, I think he was on his way to doing that before he got so badly injured in that, I don't know, was it a week two game a couple of years ago? Yeah. He really was. He was impressive.
Well, he was impressive right there, but I mean, it's like you say, it's been a couple of years, and last year, for the most part, he was healthy, and they didn't. I mean, the offense there was horrendous. There's other questions like Alex Smith. Is he really going to get the job done there? Are they going to do Sean Hill? I mean, you know, and when you try and compare our quarterbacks, McNabb is much favorable, you know, more talented right now and more productive than anyone in San Francisco.
Right. But to say his Wunderlich, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Dan Marino score in single digits on his Wunderlich?
I don't know.
I actually do believe that that's the case.
Dan Marino?
Yeah. No, there's a Hall of Fame quarterback who scored in single digits on his Wunderlich.
Yeah.
So you can't put a lot of stock in that. I mean,
this is a complex Mike
Martz. It is a Mike Martz offense. And so, yeah, you are going to be able to have to cross your T's and dot your I's while you chew gum.
I'm not saying he doesn't have potential. I'm just saying
you're
that
just saying
you know,
he's
there's
stupid.
Certain
just
players.
Come out
I want to see a little bit more from them before I you know end up targeting them in a draft or and it seems like with Vernon Davis there's always somebody in that group of drafting and all these expert leagues that I'm in, like we're drafting in the Fanex draft here, and here it is in round 10 and Vernon Davis just went. And you know, I'm looking on my cheat sheet here. And he went as the, number 11 tight end off the board, you know. So I just think that's a little high.
All yeah, right. ESPN has Vernon Davis right now going at 10th.
Okay.
So same place.
There you go.
There you go. Give us a fun sleeper at tight end.
A fun sleeper. This is going to be interesting. Anthony Fasano in Miami.
There you go.
I think he's going to beat out David Martin there. He can't seem to stay healthy. If they can get some consistent play out of their quarterback, I know that Josh McCown's really done well there. He's beating out both Beck and Henny for the position. Terry Glenn is rumored to be on his way to be signing with the Dolphins, and if that happens, then there you go. If he can stay healthy, he's going to stretch the field. That's going to open it up for Fasano underneath, who started showing some of his potential, you know, when Witten, it was the Green Bay game, wasn't it, where Fasano made some big catches there. So I like his potential. This is deep sleeper territory, so grab him either if you grab like a stud tight end early, you know, like Witten or a Winslow. You can wait until real late in your draft and then target Fasano and maybe the second or third round, the final round of your draft, and go there. There's other guys that I would target a little bit earlier as a backup, from L.J. Smith being one of them. But if you're looking for a really good deep sleeper with potential, Fasano.
All right.
Cool. Thanks, Michael.
Once again, you've been listening to Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check him out at www.ffmastermind.com.
And he's got a couple of packages out there, and obviously the premier one is the Super Bowl package that gives you everything, including the kitchen sink.
And he's got some discount promo codes that are good through the end of this month, July 31st, which is Thursday. Make sure you go out and
save yourself a couple ducats.
Mike, you want to give those promo codes again?
Yeah, for the Pro Bowl, it's FRRPB, and then for the Super Bowl, it's FRRSB. And so we got a couple of days left in the offer here. A lot of people have already taken advantage of that, and we appreciate the business and everything. And come on over to the site, check us out. We got sneak peek of the guide on the site. We got a lot of scouting reports, a lot of articles, and of course, daily quick bits. We posted, I believe, almost 300 new pieces of new NFL news items alone on Monday on the site. So we never rest. We're always, in fact, I think Perry is posting bits right now as we're talking right now. I can hear him in the background just working on the computer.
No, you know what, Mike? You have to take this medicine. You took a night off. You took a night off this weekend. For the first time in the 3 years that I've subscribed to your content, you took a night off. I got a story like 4 hours before you got it out.
Well, I tell you what happened. My wife basically tied me up and took me to a hotel in Lake Las Vegas here, and we spent Friday and Saturday night there. And so, yeah, I had limited access to the computer. Training camps are opening, but, you know, you got to go and spend some time there with the wife.
I don't disagree with your commitment to family. I just was shocked that for the first time ever. I mean, that's how good you guys are. And, yes, I'm sucking up. And, yes, this is gratuitous saying you should go there and throw them your fantasy ducats, because that is money well spent. Because for the first time in 3 years, I learned something news-wise before I didn't hear it first from Mike.
And well, the other thing was that Perry Burr, that also helps me with the news items, he was actually on a trip with his family going to see his parents, and they don't have a computer.
I was shocked.
So the both of us, you know, were kind of, he had no access. I had very limited access on a laptop, which the wife wouldn't allow me to use, but maybe for 1 or 2 hours on Saturday.
And so, porn.
You know, things like that fall. But you're right in the fact that we, from now through the end of the season, you know, it's nonstop, and we don't rest.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike.
It's never happened before. It was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, I heard this is yesterday.
Good for you. I'm glad
you
got
some
time.
You guys are so on top of things, and I'm glad that you got some family time. Say hi to the Mrs. Forrest.
Check it out.
Oh, will do.
www.ffmastermind.com. Thanks a lot, Mike.
And when next we speak, we will have had the Hall of Fame game.
Ooh.
Well, that's right. We'll talk about some real football.
Man, we got football on Sunday. Yeah,
woo! It's football. You ready for some football?
I'm so ready for some football.
Well, our final fantasy football show before we get into the meat of drafting and stuff, we'll do defensive show and IDPs.
All right. So that's it. Michael, you have a good night.
You too, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night, buddy.
This has been Michael Nazarek, the
Mastermind Edge.
All righty, Mike Nazarek, always good to have him with us.
All right, great show today, Jeffrey. Tight ends are in the book. We'll be looking at defenses and individual defensive players.
Am I the only one who giggles when people say tight ends?
Just probably inside. It's just you, a little.
So I've just got this third grader stuck inside me.
Yeah.
That'll never go away.
Yep.
Just the little potty humor.
Yeah, do you...
he's
do
a
you,
tight end.
Do you giggle, too, when you hear knockers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, no, knockers,
Chi-Chi's.
It's
just you, dude. I think.
No, yeah. I think there's other immature 42-year-olds.
No, I don't know of any.
You don't know of any?
Well, I don't know very many 42-year-olds.
I suspect that there's not many 42-year-olds that are as honest as I am. That's all I got to say in my defense.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? All right.
There it is. We wish you guys all an excellent weekend. Don't miss the Hall of Fame game on Sunday. Always a good time. And the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. I mean, nothing's going to top last year with Madden going in. In fact, we need a Madden.
Boom.
Madden going in.
Irvin going in. It was good stuff.
In fact, we need to hear this again.
What would the league be without Brett Favre? I say meaningless.
All right, there you go. And that's why he's been reinstated or will be reinstated.
Yep.
Back into the NFL.
We can't have him cancel the league on us.
Well, this has been Steven Miranda.
And Jeff Ellis.
For Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
Y'all
good night.
Yeah, great days.